Welcome to the show, Heavy Metal Bart!
Excellent day for an exorcism.
Do you know what the most frightening thing in the world is? It's fear.
Ever you do, don't fall.
Hello, hello, hello. Hope everyone has gotten over watching that horrific Jimmy Savile documentary over on Netflix, just enough to readjust yourselves back into normal society. Before I get stuck into this one, how's about a quick ad bomb from myself? Let's just say this. This show has a Patreon channel, and it is at patreon.com/ayearinhorror. It helps out so much. I'd love it if you could join us over there. We're currently going through the video nasty phenomenon with a bunch of guests. We've got top tens, something about the Scream franchise, a radio show, bunch of other stuff. I'm currently doing around 3 shows a month. I'm absolutely loving doing it. Thank you so much if you've already joined. If not, it's pretty cheap. It's £4. £4 out of your pocket. It's not quite daylight robbery. And that is the housekeeping done. Now, this is not the first time we've brought up Alfred Hitchcock on A Year in Horror, and it definitely won't be the last. In fact, it definitely won't be the last on The Birds. I'm sure we haven't gone into any depth on The Birds yet. And I must admit, even after you hear this episode, it's going to still be pretty much the same. We're not going in on depth here. No need to worry, though, if you're a massive Hitchcock and Birds fan. It will have its day when we finally get round to covering 1963 in a big 63-hitter episode. This chat is a cool one, though. Today, we are hooking up with the singer of German thrash band Tankard, Andreas Gehr Jeremiah. And we're going to get to that chat in a minute. In the meantime, here is some of my scattergun thoughts on watching The Birds again, now I've got my lovely Blu-ray copy. So we got to instantly talk about Tippi Hedren here. She plays Melanie Daniels. She is incredible in this. I love her sass, from the way she inhales her cigarette to the neat early 60s hairdo that always has a strand or two just so out of place. Of course, from her incredible green outfit to the way that she plays the aloof Melanie Daniels with decorum at all times, even though underneath that girl about town image, you feel there is true vulnerability there. She is amazing in this. Also, I did recently did watch a film called Raw from 1981 for the upcoming Big Hitter episode, and seeing her and her daughter Melanie Griffiths in that, they shared the screen with about 1,000 lions, and honestly, I didn't think they would make it to the end of the shoot. I cannot wait to read up about that one. How the hell did that film come together? It's total madness. Anyway, what about Veronica Cartwright? She is also in this. She plays the little girl, Kathy. Of course, later on in life, she was in Aliens and Witches of Eastwick. But here she is as a child, and she is flipping great as a child actress. Never taking you out of the film. Always incredibly watchable. Always incredibly charismatic. It's amazing. So do I like this film? Yeah, of course I do. It's incredible. I love the build-up. Those comedy beats at the pet shop, for instance. They are so well put together. And I also love how Melanie Daniels, she's got nothing better to do than stalk Mitch Brenner. She stalks him around the pet shop, around town, and then to his own hometown. It's really creepy behaviour. She even breaks into his house, and he absolutely loves it. He loves it. It's such a weird setup. And although Gare does mention it in our chat, there is that scene where she is alone in the boat and she gets attacked by the first bird, and it is still scary. It still holds such incredible weight, and I love that moment because it signals the tonal shift in the movie. We are now in a horror film. It is amazing. What a setup. And it shouldn't work, though, because on paper, the film is 52 minutes in before the first attack at the kids' party. And that is a long time with only the hint of horror taking place on the screen. And two things, though. I guess, though, there is those two things that you know before going in on this one. First off, you know that it's a horror film. It's called The Birds, and the poster has a person being attacked on it. So you can't really be mistaken about what's going to happen in this one, I guess. And that frees up Hitchcock to really lay into the character's development, I guess. But also, just remember that Psycho was released 3 years previous to this one. Audiences would have already been well aware that the director is fully capable of switching the narrative late on in the movie, while still having the end product lose none of its power. Here's my favourite bit of the film, though. And probably everybody else's as well. But sitting outside school, Tippi Hedren, she's having a smoke, and the kids inside the school, they are singing that rhyme. It leads into this classic scene of the kids running down the street and being attacked, which leads, of course, then to the discussion in the cafe about the purpose of the birds, which I reckon Stephen King consciously, or perhaps subconsciously, but I'm saying consciously, he nicked it for the tense, oppressive dialogue scenes in The Mist. You know, when they're all locked up in that supermarket. And to be honest, I do think that The Mist does it all better. Well, those scenes anyway. But then, The Mist doesn't have an incredible bird's eye view of the petrol station carnage. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, I guess. Swings and roundabouts. So yeah, sorry to ramble on. But as you know, I love The Birds. I've made it clear. And I was really happy that Gare wanted to talk to me about it. And we sort of did. We sort of did talk about it.
How do you do? My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and I would like to tell you about my forthcoming lecture. It is about the birds and their age-long relationship with man. It will be seen in theatres like this across the country. In my lecture, I hope to make you all aware of our good friends, the birds. Theirs is a noble history, and through it all, man has played a conspicuous part. This cave drawing is one of man's earliest sketches of his feathered friend. One can see at once the loving care with which the artist depicted his subject. The story of man and his friends, the birds, is filled with many fine examples of ways in which these noble creatures have added to the beauty of the world. Take this plumed hat from the period of Charles I. How proud the birds must have been to have their feathers plucked out to brighten man's drab life. Here we have a later model. A refinement of the first. Here man, or rather woman, thought enough of the birds to have an entire one as a decoration. It's quite dead, of course. Naturally, the egg plays a very prominent part in my lecture. Not a word about which came first, however. I don't believe in dealing with controversial matters. Thousands of years ago, man was satisfied merely to steal an egg from a nest and use it for food. Now he has perfected this process by imprisoning each hen in a separate cage and by scientifically manipulating the lights so that she doesn't fall into the rut of the old 24-hour day. Thus, he can induce the bird to reach fantastic heights of egg production. Planning the lecture has been most educational for me. I've begun to feel very close to the birds and have developed a real sympathy for our little... Oh, yes. I've come to feel very close to the birds, and I've come to realize how they feel when... I don't think I'll eat just now. Hardly proper with all of you here. Surely the birds appreciate all we've done for them. Don't you? Beautiful cage, fresh water, no other birds to bother you, none of that blinding sunlight. Oh! Now, why would he do that? Most peculiar. What on earth?
So, Tankard, eh? Tankard are a German thrash metal band that I fell in love with back in the day. I remember buying the albums Chemical Invasion, The Morning After, and Zombie Attack really close to each other, probably actually all on the same day. And my mate Chris Greenhouse, he bought the Alien EP, and together we had everything that the band had released up to that point. Creator at the time, they were my favourite band, but I had seen Tankard's logo and also a few of their album covers because on the inlay sheets of the Creator albums, because they're all on Noise Records, there was adverts for them. I was always intrigued, and I probably told you this story before, but on my 15th birthday, I saved up a ton of wages and then I added it to my birthday money and I went to Canterbury and I spanked hundreds of pounds on vinyl. And those Tankard records, to my memory anyway, were included in all of those. I just got addicted to them. Now, 10 years ago or so, I got to do a phone interview with Gare for a magazine that I was writing for at the time. And today, I'm sort of playing catch-up mode with the man. This time, we did it over Zoom. And I did attempt, honestly, I did attempt to squeeze a little bit of horror chat out of him. Here's our conversation.
Is this better?
However you want to do it, man. I'm good. You sound great. It's all about the sound, so that's fine.
It's my old school smartphone.
So somehow that sounds okay, so that's good. About 12 years ago or so, I interviewed you for a magazine, and I called you Gare, and it went ahead fine. And then I've listened to a lot of interviews since, and they are calling you all sorts of different things, different pronunciations. I got Jerry, I got Ger. How do you pronounce your name?
So my real name is Andreas Jeremiah. So Andreas is Andrew. And all the people from the, I don't know, from the kindergarten, I have this kind of nickname, like Gerre.
Ah.
Because the family name is an Italian name. It's Geremia and it's German Geremia, but in Italian it's Jeremiah.
Got it. So all the Americans were just calling you Gare. Gare.
Yeah, like no problem. Call me whatever you want.
Well, welcome to the podcast. As I said, I'm so happy to get you on. It's been a journey, but I'm glad you're here. But as I just said, I'm really interested in a bit of Tankard talk right now. So I've got to start with the box set has just come out. They're sort of tiding us fans over. But what's going on with new material? It's been a whole pandemic since we've seen an album. What's going on?
So we just finished recording a new album. And we recorded 2 months ago in January, until the end of January. And at the moment, we find out how the mix will be. So a lot of work, but there will be a new album called Pavlov's Dogs in the end of September on Reaper Entertainment. So we moved from Nuclear Blast and we asked them kindly to let us out of the contract because there is a big change with Nuclear Blast. All the old people we were working together with, they have gone and they are gone and they sold the company to another company. And so now we are with Reaper Entertainment, and the owner of Reaper Entertainment is a guy called Florian Mills, and he is our old promoter and good friend, and he's a big Tankard fan. He was a promoter of Nuclear Blast, and now it's really fantastic to work together with him again. And I think he will do a lot of manpower into promotion of the new album. And so this kind of box was just the first little highlight in our birthday year. And the biggest highlight, of course, will be the release of the new album in end of September.
I can't wait. I saw a poster where you're doing some club shows, but did the pandemic hit you like it did most other bands? Did it just put a full stop for you so you couldn't release records, or was it just that interim change happening anyway?
Yeah, so when it started in March 2020, all the shows were cancelled and postponed, and we said after all this year, let's have a little break for a couple of months, and then 3 months later, we started practicing again. I mean, life without music is no life.
And yes.
And so we were able to play 3 shows in 2020. And last year we played 5 shows. I mean, of course, this is nothing normally. Yeah, we are supposed to play 35, 40 shows in a year. And everything was canceled, postponed for the second time. Now in March, we were supposed to play the very first time in the Ukraine. And knows what happens there. This is really disgusting. And we have a war in Europe, and I don't know how it will end. This is very bad, very bad. And it makes me a little bit anxious what will be going on in the next time, to be honestly. We had the last gig on a big festival. It was in November. We had 3 shows, I think. And there was a big Metal Hammer festival. And it was with testing and vaccination. Is that the right word?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so there were some rules, but we had 4,000 or 5,000 people. That was like a couple of years ago. Amazing, amazing. And so, another couple of shows were canceled in the beginning of this year, but now we keep on going from the end of April. And I hope, and I pray to, not to God, I pray to the beer God. I don't know. I pray that all the shows will take place in the next couple of months. What will be in the next autumn and winter, we don't really know, because everybody tells us it will be worse again. But we don't know. But we are really looking forward to start again in the end of April.
Well, fingers crossed there, you come back to the UK so we can watch you there.
I mean, we have to live with this kind of virus in the next 10, 20 years. I don't know. Sure. It won't be vanished. Yeah. So, but Yeah. We can't be in a lockdown forever. So there's one new song on this album called Lockdown Forever. It's more a little bit, it's more a little bit of funny song because, yeah, imagine there is such a horrible virus and you have to stay at home forever. I mean, you get food in front of your door and some drinks, but you have to stay in your room, in your flat until the end of your life. What you're going to have to do? You have to listen to all your heavy metal records from A to Z. And this is the song about that. So a very typical tankard humor. And yeah, one, I think it will, could be one of my fave songs on this album.
Well, this brings me neatly into horror because it does. I'll get there. Because when I first discovered Tankard, I was a young lad and I was really banging to horror still then. And I got Zombie Attack because it was called Zombie Attack and your logo looked incredible. So I was like, I'm there. I'm getting that. And you had the song Zombie Attack. You had also Screaming Victims. And I thought that you were going to be this horror band. And it didn't turn out that way going forward. And was there ever a time when you were like, I think we need to drift away from this? Or were you potentially going to be doing more horror songs? How did that change?
So, I mean, the first album was released in 86. And the songs on Zombie Attack, they were 2-3 years old, some of them. And yeah, when we started with the band, I mean, I was 14. I mean, this is incredible. And so at that time, we had the first video recorders, you know, VHS. And only one member in the band got one of that. And then after school, we were meeting and just watching stupid horror movies. I mean, and yeah, and zombie movies and all this bullshit. And so the lyrics, I mean, these are not really lyrics on the first album. This is nonsense, but they were really influenced. Some of them were really influenced by yeah, watching that kind of new movies. And yeah, so beginning with Chemical Invasion 87, of course, we did everything for this kind of beer image, you know. And yeah. Later on in the 90s, we really wanted to get rid of a little bit of this image, but yeah, nobody believed us. So and nowadays we do a lot of jokes about our own image. I mean, sometimes Tankard is really reduced to this beer thing, and it's a little bit sad, but yeah, it's our own fault because we created this kind of bullshit. And I mean, could you imagine Tankard is doing now a very serious album with very serious lyrics and a serious cover, no comic on it? I mean, nobody would believe us. So yeah, we have to live with that kind of image. And yeah, but doing a lot of jokes about this image. But anyway, we always try to do a good mixture of serious and funny lyrics since the Chemical Invasion album. Yeah, but nobody really is interested. And I mean, it started with the last album. Oh, you wrote a song about the war in Syria, Syrian Nightmare, a song. Hey, Tankard is doing serious lyrics now. And I said, no, we're doing serious lyrics, since Chemical Invasion. And I don't know, Maniac Forces on the first album always should be it's about the atomic war, yeah? It's also a serious song anyhow, but yeah, so you see all the time Tankard is a little bit reduced to the spear thing. And as you mentioned, the first album was full of horror.
Well, I did say to you, I did say, let's come on the show. We'll talk about horror. And your instinct was like, well, I'm not really a fan of horror. And I was thinking there must have been something that scared you when you were younger. And you said The Birds.
Yeah, the history with The Birds is I think I was 10 years old, but I was alone at home and the movie. Yeah, that was on normal television. It was late, and so I was really scared. I can remember that, and I mean, before we organized this kind of date, I bought the Blu-ray, and yesterday I watched the movie again. It was very funny. I mean, it's a movie from 62. I mean. Yeah, but it's I still like the movie, but my memories are that I was really 10 years old and I was really, really scared.
I can about imagine.
About this attacking birds. I was much more scared than looking any zombie movies. I don't know. You know, this is kind of bullshit, but attacking by birds. It's a kind of unreal, but imagine if such a thing would happen, that animals treats human beings like we treat animals. And maybe this kind, it's not just a horror movie. So there's a lot of aspects beside that.
Well, we've all been attacked by a bird at some point, or run into a bird or something like that. And it's never fun. There's never a good time when a bird will come down and swoop you to protect its young or something. I can see as a young boy, that would be absolutely terrifying just to think of that.
Yeah. But I think I have a new idea. Is there a song called Heavy Metal Bird?
I don't
know. Any metal band? You don't know what? I don't know. Maybe, I have to think it over. Maybe a funny story. It's a heavy metal bird. It sounds a little bit ridiculous, but maybe it's a good idea or it's a bad idea. I have to sleep one night and tomorrow I think again about that.
If someone can pull it off, it's you. It's you.
Heavy metal bird. I mean, we have heavy metal ears, heavy metal virgin. I don't know, but heavy metal bird? Never heard about that. A bird with metal wings, maybe.
Now you're talking. Let's do this thing up. All right. Okay. Well, I also got the Blu-ray for this, and I watched it, and I didn't remember it really being this film of two different halves. So you've got the horror at the end, but it opens up just like a sort of love story, a drama. And I didn't expect that. What did you think of that first half?
Yeah, if you don't know what this movie is about, you think, that could be a normal love story. I don't know. And then it turns really into this kind of horror by attacking of the birds. And in the second half, it's still a little love story. But it's really, really interesting. If you don't know the movie, in the beginning you'll think, that this is a love story.
Yeah, what is this? That's what I was thinking. I love to see Alfred Hitchcock at the beginning of his films, and like there he was coming out of the pet shop. So I like that. That was a little box ticked. But I didn't expect like those little comedy beats where when she's driving to Bodega Bay and like the little birds are down by her and they're swinging around in the car.
Yeah. That was like, it was not really headbanging, but it was, like it's swinging. that's really fun. Tippi Hedren was the
that's
name?
Her. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the movie is from 62. What kind of beautiful woman, man. She's still, I checked it out on the internet. She's still alive. She's over 19 years old.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you asked me, when you wrote me, you asked me what's maybe the most ridiculous scene and the most, frightening scene. I mean, the first attack by the bird when she was on the boat.
Just one bird. That's all it takes.
It was one bird. And then she was bleeding and the blood. That looks really, this kind of blood was a little bit ridiculous. I mean, later on, we have this kind of blood and then you get used to this kind of blood. Yeah, but it looks not very natural. So that was, I mean, that there is no, not really a ridiculous scene. But if you ask me about that, the first blood, I so said, oh, come on. What's that kind of lipstick? I don't know what. And the most frightened scene, I think it's really the end. What a kind of an end of a movie. Yeah. And they have to, they took their two birds. Yeah. This present for the little girl. Can I take it with me? And then they drive through millions of birds waiting to attack again. I mean, this end is really, really famous. This is, yeah, it's really a great end. And it's really, as far as I can remember, when I was a kid, it was really frightening. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah,
if they're able to go to San Francisco to be safe, or would they be killed all four in this car? You don't know it exactly.
Well, I do. I know a little bit about some stuff they were going to film after that scene. So the initial storyboards had them continuing on. So you followed them in the journey. And what would happen is they were in the car driving and they were passing lots of dead bodies in Bodega Bay. And there were just dead bodies everywhere. And it was a bit grim to look at. And then when they thought they were finally safe, they got swooped again in the car and the bird started to smash the windows. But they sort of made it to the borderline and then things were freeing up and then they escaped that way. But they decided not to film that. I don't think it was because of money. I just think it was too gory. There was too many dead bodies lying around.
Yeah, I read something similar in the internet or on the Blu-ray. There is a different end.
Yeah,
but not with any scenes. Just written. Well, no.
Ah, right. Okay.
Manuscript.
The storyboard.
Like a storyboard. Yes, that's a word I was looking for. So you see, oh, come on.
Hey, I'm just still thinking of heavy metal birds. Okay, I'm loving this tune.
Yeah, heavy metal birds with wings of metal. Yes. too heavy to fly. we're gonna write a kind of funny story about a heavy metal bird. You will see. But anyhow, so they have no scenes on this Blu-ray, this alternative end. They have just shown this kind of storyboard, but I was too tired to read all that stuff. But I think this end in the movie, there should not be better end. I mean, because it's an open end. Don't know what's gonna be happen, and it's really strange if they go by car very slowly through millions of birds. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's maybe not that kind of horror movie some other people think of, but when I was younger, I was really frightened.
That's what it's all about. They're the ones that stick with you. Yeah, I remember having I watched Doctor Who which scared the life out of me when I was younger. And the same day, my parents watched a Michael Caine film called The Hand, which I've re-watched recently, and it's not scary at all. But I always remember a cut-off hand chasing me in my dreams for years because I watched that with them. So, yeah, when you're young, these things affect you.
Yes, of course. And but in my normal life, I'm not so into watching horror movies or movies in general or going to cinema. We have one daily soap in Germany. Totally stupid. It's called Storm of Love.
It sounds terrible.
It is terrible, but I gotta watch it every day. And 10 years ago, I was able, to have a little role in it.
No.
Just in three series, right?
Yeah.
Spoke. Yeah. Only some words. That was very funny because that story is really, it's hard to explain in English. So, you know, Bobby Shotkovsky, the old drummer of Sodom?
Yes, indeed I do, yeah.
Yeah, so Bobby and me, we were just doing some kind of fun on the Rock Hard. On Rock Hard, the magazine, they had every 3 or every 4 months, including a DVD in their magazine. Yeah, you know, with heavy metal clips and all that stuff, live shooting and... And in between, Bobby and me, we did somehow some kind of moderation and doing a lot of funny nonsense. A little bit slapstick, you know, just, traveling around and I don't know, a lot of funny things. And one day I had an interview with the Rock Hard magazine and they asked me, like you, about... the best movie I ever saw. And I said, I don't watch any movies. Watch every day the Daily Soap. And a couple of months later, a guy sent a couple of signed pictures of the actors for me to the Rock Hard because his girlfriend was working for this Daily Soap. And so the connections got on. And one day we have been in Munich and... doing a lot of nonsense there, but we were able to take place in the real soap. Yeah, just do you have a room free? It's a daily soap. It's about a very noble hotel, and we checked in a hotel, and is there a room free? We played like rock stars, you know, coming from tour, and you know, we're very funny, and. Do we have a room free? Yes, but it's very expensive. And I said, money doesn't matter. And throw my credit card on the table.
Please tell me this is on YouTube.
This is on YouTube. This is on YouTube. And it's three scenes with Bobby and me, but you won't understand a word. But this kind of soap, it's they show it in I think in 40 different countries. I know there's the Italian version of it, but I never heard about it about an English version of it.
I've never heard it.
Yeah, I try when we finish the interview. I try to find out the scenes and gonna send you by email, yes. Or maybe tomorrow.
100% please.
So usually I'm not a heavy metal singer. I'm a great actor, but nobody believed in me. So this is...
it's a tough break.
Tough break. But the heavy metal bird always comes into my mind again.
Well, hey, thank you for coming on the show. But before I let you go, you've told us about this new album coming up. You've told us that you are going on tour, but you didn't say whether you're coming over to the UK. Is this happening?
At the moment, there is nothing planned, but of course, we really want to love to come back to the UK. And yeah, we would really love to come over Bloodstock Festival or something else. I mean, we played a couple of times in London. And in the 90s, we played together with Centrix, couple of shows in the UK. And we played in, I think in 1990, we played in the legendary Marquee Club.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. And yeah, played a couple of shows in London, and yeah, we really would love to come back. That would be really awesome. And hopefully one day we're going to meet and have some alcohol-free beer together.
I'm always down for some alcohol-free beer.
But anyhow, we have to write this song, Heavy Metal Birds.
I think that's what other way can we end?
I am a heavy metal bird or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's too ridiculous, but yeah.
Don't you dare say that.
That would be a new song title, I guess.
Okay, fella. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for talking with the big nose.
Heavy metal birds.
Thank you so much to Gare. I did have a sweet catch up with him at the beginning of April. That's what you just listened to. But for now, all I will say that if you want to contact me, you can at ayearinhorror@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram and Letterboxd. I am at Waller Not Weller. And I'm also over on Twitter at Not Weller Pod. That's the news. That's the beef. See you soon. A Year in Horror is out.
Full of horror.